San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 26, 2022. Today's lesson is One Body with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook-Torr.
Thank you, Reverend Mark. So, welcome. Welcome right here, right now, into the awareness, the consciousness of the one that is all. So let us anchor ourselves in this absolute truth of everything. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all the universe, all existence. Call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we all live and move and have our being. It's just, it is so powerful to anchor ourselves in this universal spiritual truth that there's only one, just one, one life, one love, one creative source that could only create out of what it was. So everything that we are is the same stuff as the Creator. So this month has been an interesting month with the theme of body. We've had our awareness of our bodies brought full force in front of each of our faces. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. That's actually the concept behind themes, monthly themes, that we are working on what is within ourselves that is related to these themes. So I wanted to recap just a little bit for body, because it's relevant. If you think about all of the different centers for spiritual living that are tied into this same thematic journal that we have chosen, that means that there are hundreds and hundreds of centers for spiritual living that have the theme of body this month. So it is only right that the theme of body is going to show up much greater than just in our own personal consciousness. We started the month with Welcome to the Temple, reminding ourselves that the body is the temple of God. It can't be anything else. And that the body is a sacred gathering place. Gathering of our consciousness, all of us gathering together. Then we talked about loving this body. And I brought up all the times that we look in the mirror and find fault. We look at the scale and find fault. We go out to do exercise and find fault. And every time we find fault with our body, we are disrespecting it. We need to love unconditionally the body that we have. Because whenever we love something, whenever we focus on the good in something, what increases? That good. So if we don't look at our bodies and say, oh, I'm so tired, I can't get this done. Bad idea. Remember that the body is functional. It is a whole unit. It is right here, and you live within it. It is not you. You are within it. So love this body that gave you the opportunity to be present and communicate and be activated in this physical realm. Last week we talked about listening to your body And I gave you a nice long list of all these amazing capabilities that the body has. The one that comes to mind most is when you lose your sight, your cerebral cortex actually changes in your body to make you more aware of your other senses, of scent, of hearing, of touch. Because that one was a surprise to me. I didn't know that when you lost your sight, your body kicked into this evolutionary thing so that you would still be safe and survive in this world. What an amazing body. What an amazing body. And every one of us is the spiritual immortal being having this human experience within a body. But there's only one body. If you look at the icon in your program inserts today, you'll see something that is the shape of a body, of a torso and a head. You know, not all the arms and legs, but a body. You could tell it's a body. But what is it made of? All kinds of little gadgets and designs and patterns. It's got curlicues, it's got hexagons, it's got a heart. It's got all kinds of stuff to make up a body. Because there's only one body made up of so many different things. In Ephesians, in the Bible, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, there is one body and there is one spirit. Now, notice he said and. And is a logical construct. It requires both sides being true. There is one body and there is one spirit. If it was, there is one body, period, there is one spirit, period, it would be a different statement. But this is a reminder to us that there is only one. The one body and the one spirit are one. They are one. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, one, and individually members one of another. Members one of another. We are in what is called the body of Christ. Or we can call this the body of Christ consciousness. Because what we are is the manifest body of God expressing here on earth. There is a page that I cut out of the Daily Word where they have, you know, daily comments, affirmations, and stuff from January of 2021. And this one was for January 24th about oneness. And it says, I am divine. Over the years, I have learned that there is a spark of divinity within me and within all people. This divine spark binds us as members of one family and deepens our awareness of God. Today, my understanding of my divinity expands. My divine nature is so much more than a spark. It is my essence, who I truly am. I realize I don't have to rely on anything outside myself for love, comfort, or guidance. We don't have to rely on anything outside of ourself. Everything I could ever need from God is already mine and is expressing as me. My realization of oneness extends to all people whom I now see as fellow divine beings, freed from all illusion of separation. Freed from all illusion of separation, I am aware of the divine presence everywhere, expressing through everyone. We are divine. The illusion of separation. That illusion is the delusion most plaguing the world. When we look back at what is written in the Bible, in the New Testament, what Jesus actually taught, not what all the churches have come along and put together, trying to interpret what Jesus thought, interpret what Jesus meant, we find that what Jesus actually said is not in most religions, most organized religions. The actual belief that people follow, that Jesus is the Savior, they seem to forget that Jesus kept telling us, not I am the Savior. The Father and I are one. You are one with the Father. The kingdom is within. There's not this, okay, here's God, here's the Holy Spirit, here's Jesus, and they're three distinct entities. No, it's all one. All the different parts that make up the body of God. All of the universe makes up the body of God. These trees, these benches, us, the water, everything is the manifest expression of the divine here on earth. Now, I'm sure it looks different on different planets. Not a close buddy of Elon Musk, and, you know, I don't have a reservation to go visit the other planets. Though that could happen in the next lifetime or two. But the reason I bring up there's a difference in what we know as unity and the concept of separation is because it's a misconception. It's a misunderstanding. And people believe it with all of their hearts. They believe in separation. This week, that has been on prime display in our nation. We have the Supreme Court, of course. And the Supreme Court does not make law. It does not legislate. It does not enforce the laws. All it does is interpret the laws in relationship to the Constitution. Is the law that is written in alignment with the Constitution? Not, do we like this law? Do we want this law? So there was a ruling handed down from the Supreme Court Friday. It was Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. The case centered on a Mississippi law banning abortion if the probable gestational age of the unborn human is greater than 15 weeks. Basically, if you were more than 15 weeks pregnant, they didn't want you to get an abortion. That was the state law. That state law came into conflict with two other Supreme Court decisions, 1973 in Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court conferred a right to abortion on the nation. Those are important words. Shortly after that, Casey, where is it? Casey versus Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania was another law. And it sort of kind of said, okay, so you can have an abortion up to so far. It was an effort to determine when was the cutoff for when a woman could have an abortion. Why am I talking about this in church? Why? Let's go back to the month of May. Our theme was emotions. Emotions. And one of the things that I told you last month was that when we are in a state of high emotion, the logical side of our brain gets overridden. I also told you that anger is a secondary emotion, and it is rooted in either fear or sadness. Well, there's a lot of anger in our nation about this decision. There's a lot of emotion invested in this decision. But like the difference between what Jesus told us and what some of the churches teach us, we need to go back to the root, the information. From Civics 101, states and people at the time of our founding, only granted limited powers to a federal government body in the Constitution. Specific unalienable rights were identified and enumerated in the Bill of Rights and the amendments to the Constitution. All remaining authority is reserved to the states and the people. All. So, when the Supreme Court ruled in Roe v. Wade back in 1973 that there was a constitutional right to abortion, they were in error. They were in error. They were manufacturing a right that didn't exist. And since it didn't exist, it could not be handed over to any federal level. All right. The holding of the ruling. I wrote it down. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania and Casey are overruled. And here's the important part. The authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. Okay? Nobody has said that women are no longer allowed to have abortions. Nobody has said that women who already have had abortions are going to be tried for murder. Nobody has said that doctors who have performed abortions are going to be tried for murder. None of that happened. Well, maybe they said it, but there is no basis in law for it. It is all fear. And that fear is overriding the logical part of the mind that can look at the ruling and say, no, choice was not removed. The authority to determine choice was returned to the states. when you see all of the emotional reactions, a lot of the people are saying, my body, my choice. I swear, body must be the most used word in the English language more than any other time since Friday. It is just, and the truth is, we all do have body autonomy. We get to choose what we put into our body, how we use our body, what exercises we do, whether we choose to get a tattoo, get hair plugs, get fake nails. Whatever we want to do, we have that choice. Because it is our choice. And in that choice, we also have the wisdom of the one mind within us, available to us. So as people that you know are reacting to this decision, remember that nothing was done to take any rights out of the Constitution. There was no right in the Constitution to begin with because it was not a federal issue. It's the power of we the people in our own states and our own legislatures to make decisions that govern our daily lives. I would say almost like the gas tax, but you know, our gas tax is so high here in California, and I never voted for it. So somebody else must have, the legislators must have, or else it's a farmed out rule that the Department of Energy within our state does. But yeah, the people in the states embody the body of the state. The body of the state is not independent. It is also a part of our nation. Our nation, though sovereign, is still a part of the body of the nations of the world. Our world, though determinable physically, is still part of the universe. And all of the universe is created by the one creator, the one source. So everything is all one. It's a big concept. It's a huge concept. It's easier to see in the abstract than it is in our daily lives. If you're out in public somewhere and someone is behaving horribly and it impacts you, it's hard to remember, I'm one with that guy. I'm one with that woman. Phew. Can I give her some of my oneness and, you know, make her stop misusing hers? Well, no, we can't. Her life, her choice. Even though everybody has the divine within. The divine is within at all times. It's that omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. The one knows all. The one is everywhere present fully at all times. And it is all powerful at all times. If we were to claim that we as an individual have more power than the divine creator, we would look pretty silly. Yeah, I told you that joke about the scientists thinking they'd come up with life, how they could form life. They started with dirt, and God said, create your own dirt. And our bodies tell us what is right for us. They tell us to either move or to stop moving. And so we want to listen to our bodies physically as much as we want to listen to that one source that is within us. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14 from the King James Version of the Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ," the Christ consciousness. "For by one scripture we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now there's a couple of terms I want to give you an amplification on. Baptized. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Well, what does baptized mean? It means sanctified, recognized as being a part of God. Does not necessarily include dunking in water. That's a ritual that's symbolic of washing away our errors, our mistakes, our sins, original sin. Do you know original sin is not in the Bible? The other word is made. We have all been made to drink into one spirit. We have all been made to drink into one spirit. Made means formed or created in the image and likeness of. So if we are all created in the image and likeness of the One, we have all been made through this likeness to drink into the One Spirit. And drink is to consume, to use, to be filled with, to sustain. Our physical bodies need water. They need liquid. Our spiritual bodies are sustained by their own infinite spiritual nature. You still with me? All right. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And I feel like saying, and he said this about that. But on page 127 and 128, he talks about oneness with all law. Remember that any law that our federal government makes must be in the Constitution. It has to be a constitutional law. If it's not in the Constitution, it's the responsibility of the states. Ernest wrote, "When we know our oneness with God and law, what a great burden is removed. Any sense of opposition is removed from the consciousness which perceives unity. That which we call our subjective mind is but a point in universal mind, where our personality maintains its individualized expression of spirit. If we think of ourselves as being separated from the universe, we shall be limited by this thought, for it's a belief in separation from God which binds and limits. If we believe that we are separated from God, then there is a physical and emotional effect on our bodies, which are yearning for us to recognize that we are one with the one, with the law. Unity. Ernest Holmes says, "We are bound by nothing except belief. Quote, they could not enter in because of their unbelief and because they limited the Holy One of Israel," end quote. I didn't look that up in the Bible to see where it is, but I think I have read it somewhere where they were talking about entering into the kingdom of heaven. There was also a parable about entering into the gates of the holy city, where if they didn't believe they could be there, they were left out, but only in their own mind. Only by their own actions. Ernest says, there is but one mind. Here is the point. Everything we experience, touch, taste, handle, and smell, environment, bodies, conditions, money, happiness, friends, all are effects. It is clear that the infinite and limitless possibilities that possibilities of that one of which man is a part depends in man's expression upon his own concept. I'm going to read that again. Oh, is it? That's why. Is it clear that the infinite and limitless possibilities of that one of which man is a part depend in man's expression upon his own concept? If he is a point of personality in limitless mind, which he is, and if all his life must be drawn from this one mind, which it must be, there cannot be anything else, can there? And if there is nothing else, if there is nothing to move save mind, and if a man is a thinking center in mind, and this he's emphasized, nothing is going to happen to him that does not happen through him. I'll emphasize it by repeating it. Nothing is going to happen to him that does not happen through him. Whether it be the result of his own erroneous conclusions, those of his grandfather, or those of the race to which he belongs. This is not in any sense fatalistic. For, this is all caps, we may change the trend of causation which has been set in motion at any time we decide to do so. We may change the trend of causation which has been set in motion at any time we decide to do so. What is Ernest telling us? You are one with everything and everyone, like it or not, believe it or not, act on it or not. And if you don't believe it, you can change your mind. You can make a new decision. One body. One power. One presence. One infinite intelligence that flows through all the world. And all of this oneness, it is where we live and move and have our being. It is part of who we are. One body, one heart, one mind, one love, one source, one creation. One. The body of God is a manifestation of all in the universe. The universe is a manifestation of all that God is. Can't get away from it. can't go around it, can't go under it, can't go over it, because you're living within it. You're living within it. Now, next week, we're starting a new month, July, one of our favorite months, because of the wonderful summer weather and all of the opportunities available to us here in San Diego, and all of the freedoms that we have through our Constitution. We always revisit our basic freedoms in July. And next week is no different. The theme for July is relationships. And I thought, oh, totally cool. All the different relationships we have, not just with each other, with individuals, with groups, with other nations, with people that we help, all kinds of relationships. But next week, our talk is One Nation, Indivisible. And you'll notice the icon is One Nation Under God. And it's July 3rd next week. So you can still celebrate the 4th on Monday, but let's see everybody here on Sunday the 3rd to really have a good time and celebrate. I have one final quote for you. It's an affirmation. In fact, you can say it with me. Today.
Today.
I know that I am one. I am a part of the one body.
I listen to my body.
Knowing it is speaking as God. And so it is. And so just breathe. Just breathe in that inner awareness that the divine is in, as, and through you. And anything that ever happens in your life happens through you, through the divine within you. So I thank you for your time, your attention, your presence. I love you all. God bless you. Namaste.